written to a person by name Theophilus. And this is the second book that Luke is writing. So the first book is the Gospel according to Luke. He has written. And this is another book that he continues to write as a historical analysis of what happened during that time, the early days of the Christian church. And that is what he's continuing to write in this book of the Acts. It says the book is titled Acts of the Apostles, even though it is more than that. It's mostly the Acts of the Holy Spirit that we see in this book. So I sometimes like to call it as the Acts of the Holy Spirit rather than Acts of the Apostles. Here, they were gathered together by Christ, by the resurrected Christ, and then something that he talked to them about to be here and to gather together until the power of the Holy Spirit comes and to gather to be in Jerusalem. And then you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be witness for my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria and Judea and the ends of the earth. And then he was taken up in the clouds before their very eyes. And as they were looking intently, there were two men dressed in white and told them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So he left with some commission and some commandments for us to do. And also he left us with a promise that he will come back and return just as the way he was taken up into heaven. It was about 1985, it was about 35 years ago in 1985, my wife and I, on a December night, boarded a plane from India to come to America. We were just married about a year at that time. And my dad and my mom, my brothers, and several of our relatives have joined together to see us send us off. So they gathered in our home, and they followed us in various cars and vehicles all the way to the airport. And they were there waving us goodbye, and some of them actually came even to the gate of the plane. In those days, we were able to go even to the gate until you can see somebody off. Nowadays, you are not allowed to go if you don't have a ticket. You are not a passenger. But those times are gone. So they were all there waving goodbye, and it was a tough time for us to leave. It was a long journey and a long distance away from them. So my mom was in tears and my dad was in tears. And it was a very very emotional time for all of them. But after that, when we called and talked to them, they told us that they stayed there until they saw our plane take off into the clouds. That's when they left the airport. I thought about that when I read this passage about the disciples looking into the sky as Jesus was taken up in the clouds, and then they were still looking at the sky as if something has been gone from them. And that's when the two men appeared in white robes and told them, "Men of Galilee, why are you looking at the sky now? The same Jesus that you have seen taken up into heavens will come back just as you have seen him taken up today." Separation from our loved ones are bittersweet. It is painful for us to see them go, but at the same time, we are looking in anticipation for a reunion again in the future. That is what the church has been left with when Jesus ascended into heaven. After resurrection, he remained in this world for about 40 days, and he appeared to over 500 people. That's what we read in the scripture in various ways. And then he led his disciples to the Mount of Olives, where they were watching ascending him into heaven. Luke has already told the story in his gospel book at the end of chapter 24, where we read that when Jesus, before he was taken up into the clouds, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. And he is repeating that story in the beginning of this book, the Acts of the Apostles. And they are, in both places, are told them to wait until something happens. The power of the Holy Spirit will come. He blessed them before he left this world. So the promise of the Father that during this 40 days from the interval from Passover to the Pentecost, which we will be celebrating next Sunday, the coming of the Holy Spirit, to wait for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father that he was saying that he was no longer physically with them, but he will send the Holy Spirit to be present with them, to be their comforter, to be their counselor, to be their guide in their everyday life. This same Jesus, who was born in a manger, grew up and healed the sick and raised the dead, that they have seen and witnessed in their lives, is the same Jesus that is taken up into heaven, will be coming back again in this world one day. We see they have seen him healing and delivering people every day, in every turn of their lives. He was moved with compassion. He is the same Jesus whom they followed and saw him teaching in the synagogue. He is the same Jesus who turned water into wine, and he is the same Jesus who cast away the demons from people who are affected by evil spirits. He is the same Jesus who saw Zacchaeus on a tree and asked him to come down so that he can stay with him that night. He is the same Jesus who raised Lazarus and the daughter of Jairus from death. He is the same eternal Savior, the same one who is yesterday, today and forever, the same unchanging Jesus, who wants to be with us in the midst of our life situations. In our burdens, he is going to be the same Jesus who will carry us through. He is the same Jesus who is going to come again. And that's what the promise that they heard that day. You have seen this Jesus being taken through the streets of Jerusalem towards the end of his life here, beaten and humiliated and carrying a cross. You saw him nailed upon the cross, and you saw him forgiving the thief on the cross, even in the pain of suffering of his death on the cross. He was covering them with love and compassion on the cross. He appeared after the third day. He rose from the dead. And he appeared to you and many of these disciples. That's what the angels are reminding them. So this is the same Jesus who had been with you, did all these things that you have witnessed and you have experienced in your own life, will come back again as you have seen him taken away. People of God, as we go through situations where we think that God is far away from us or God is removed from us, from our sight, we have the promise to hold on to that he is the same Jesus who has led us in the past. In our experiences of our lives, he was the healer. In our problems of our lives, he was the comforter. He had led us through in difficult times and good times and bad times. He had led us through in our sickness and in our grief. He was there in the past. He is the same Jesus today, and he will be coming back as the same Jesus again tomorrow. He is an eternal God, an unchanging God. He is the same yesterday, today and tomorrow. When he comes back, there will be certain things that we will have to witness, or we will witness, that the dead in Christ will rise once again. That is our faith. That is what we believe. And we believe a personal and a bodily return of Jesus Christ in this world. The believers will be raptured from this earth, and those who are alive will be raptured from this earth, and those who are dead in Christ will rise again from their tombs. By the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he defeated the devil. He ascended to the right hand of God to come again, so that he can remove all of this evil from this world and establish his kingdom of peace and joy so that we can be with him forever. In 1 Timothy, Paul is reminding the people that the Lord shall come and descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That is our promise that God has given us to hold on to, that he will come back again. And he has been a God who fulfilled his promises in our past. He experienced that in our lives. He will fulfill the same promise of his coming back again that we can hold on to. We were in Japan a couple of years ago, and we went through the city of Tokyo, and there is outside the train station in Tokyo, there is a statue of a dog. You probably have seen a movie of that dog about Hachiko. It is an unusual dog who has shown faithfulness to his owner. He was the dog of a university professor who took him to the train station every day before he went on to his work, and the dog will walk back home after that every day. The dog accompanied him on his walk in the morning and came back to the station at the same spot every afternoon to receive him. One day, the professor didn't return to the station because he had a heart attack at work and died. Sadly, he had died, but the dog was still waiting for him. And the next day, the dog showed up again, and again and again. The dog continued to do the same thing for 9 years until its death. The faithfulness of that dog until his death reminds me of what we ought to do as people of faith in this world. To continue to hold on to that hope that Jesus has promised that he will return, not only as the king, but also as our comforter, as our ruler in our lives, so that we can experience that joy and that peace eternally with him in this world. We are asked to be faithful in waiting for the master's return. Unlike Hachiko's master who died, we know that our master is the risen Lord. He is alive, and he is alive, and he is in control of the whole universe with the Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven. Paul calls this an enduring hope. In Thessalonians, the letter to the Thessalonians, he calls it the endurance inspired by the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and his second coming. Jesus Christ is surely coming again. This is not a minor part of the Bible. It is one of the essence of our faith we hold on to. That is the important part of our faith, the physical return of Jesus Christ that we are waiting for. Many things that we learn in the Bible are important. Baptism, Holy Communion, or all these things are important that we are celebrating on Sundays and other times that we meet. But the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is also something that we celebrate. As we meet together, as we reminded of his presence in our lives, let us remember that he is going to come back again. I was looking at the message this time, and I noticed that the baptism is mentioned about 20 or 21 times in the Bible. The Holy Communion is about the same number, very less than that too. But the second coming of Christ is mentioned over 300 times in the New Testament alone. And there are more references to the second coming of the Messiah as King and Lord in the Old Testament as well. As we go through the scripture from the beginning to the end, it is filled with the messages of hope, of establishment of God's kingdom in this world. And we are called to be part of that kingdom, waiting for his return, so that we can join together with him in establishing that kingdom in this world. Until then, Jesus told his disciples, just as he told the apostles who witnessed his ascension, be in Jerusalem. Wait for the Holy Spirit so that you can be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. That is, we are to do. no matter what happens around us, should not disturb us or distract us from the mission that God has given us, or Jesus has given us to accomplish in this world, to be faithful in the places where we are, to spread His love and His care and compassion to this world until the day He arrives, or until we die in this world. The last book of the Bible, which is the Revelation, also closes with a prayer. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. We believe in the second coming of Christ. His return from heaven will be personal, it will be visible, and it will be glorious. It is the blessed hope of which we could constantly watch and pray for. It will be as sudden and unannounced, just as His ascension was. He will be coming back in the clouds of the angels. That's what we read in the scripture. There will be trumpets of the angels singing glory, and all the world will see Him. And this is what, as Christians, as church people, we are holding on to. In times of uncertainty, in times of difficulties that we face around us, that we don't know what to do, what the solutions are, there is a hope and a promise that Jesus has left us with to hold on to, that He will be here again to establish His kingdom. Until then, the Holy Spirit is with us, and He will guide us, and He will comfort us, and He will protect us. I want to read our creed, the Apostles' Creed, as our affirmation of faith that we usually read generally during our communion service on Sunday. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The Ascension Sunday is a reminder when we celebrate, to remind everyone to be ready, to wait for that day when Jesus Christ comes back. If any of you are not sure of this promise, this is the day that you can commit your lives into Jesus' hands. You can be ready by opening your hearts to Jesus and repent of our sins and pray for forgiveness, that He died on the cross and rose from the dead and ascended to heaven and seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. He will come again to judge the quick and the dead, as we just said in our faith affirmation. By believing and by trusting in Him, we can be part of that group who will be waiting for Him in His second return. Until then, we are asked to be faithful in the places that He has given us to be, wherever it is, in our families, in our society, in our places of work, or whatever places we are, to be faithful witnesses for Him until that day. May God bless you with all these words and continue to comfort you all in the places where you are. As we plan on reopening our church, we ask for your earnest prayers that we will have a safe process in place, that we can all gather together again, and God will guide us through this situation. May God bless you all. The closing hymn is "Go Make of All Disciples." Lisa and Dean will be leading us.
Sorrow waits on thy knee.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the word that you have given us for the comfort of our souls and the hope of our future. Bless us, Lord, with the hope that your promise that you will be with us and you will come back again to take us with you to establish your kingdom. Help us to hold on to those promises in times like this. Bless us, Lord, to be a blessing to this world until your return or until our death, whatever happens first. Lord, we pray that help us to be blessing and faithful in the situations that you have placed us, Lord, to be the messengers of your love and compassion to this world. Help us to be strong in our faith, in our hope, so that we will become more effective in your witnessing in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. People of God, receive this benediction. God has given us the promise that he will come because of Christ's death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. We have a promise that he will come back and establish his kingdom. That is our hope for us, not only for us, for the fallen world that we are in. And let us hold on to that promise as we depart from this place. May God bless you in the days to come. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit with you now and forevermore. Amen.